You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Going to talk some boxing here today on Drive Time Sports. It was a very sad weekend with the passing of Big George Foreman, one of the all-time greats in the sport. He passed away at the age of 76 years old, and our next guest, who is joining us to talk about the life legacy of George Foreman, has been on this show for well over 10 years, and I believe the very first segment we ever had, we talked about Big George Foreman. We have Tony Whippy, our boxing insider, joining us right now. Tony, it's great to get you back on the show, even though it's not of the best circumstances, talking about the passing of a legend.
Yeah, that it definitely is. To be honest with you, man, you were the first one to hit me with this news. I'm out and about, and it does hit home, close to home with this, but it's definitely a legend that we lost over the weekend.
Before we get into the legacy and what he accomplished as a human being, both inside and outside of the ring, you had an opportunity to chat with Big George. He was actually on your boxing podcast once upon a time. And so I know that this is definitely someone that in the sport you've looked up to, and you had a chance to share some conversations with him. I'm curious as to what you remember about that and what George Foreman meant to you personally.
Yeah, so I've done this throughout my life, good or bad, where I've always kind of admitted even to people like, hey, I've always enjoyed you, but you weren't my favorite, right? And I remember telling George, you've always been, in the zeitgeist of, the media and everything else out there, kind of the grills and everything. What I always liked about George more than anything, and I could sum it up into one word if I had to, is jovial. There is nobody in the boxing landscape who always had this bright attitude. It was hard, especially, years later and being outside of the ring, but it was hard to ever see George in a very, that mean stance and intimidated stance that he had in the ring. It was sometimes, and I remember talking to my co-host after, we kind of talked about it, going, that guy that we just talked to didn't seem like the same guy that took out Norton. You know what I mean? Didn't make sense to us of how much of a, a beast he was in the ring and how strong he was and everything. But yet, when you talk to him, he was nothing but warm and a happy, jovial human being coming from a place of love. And that is not always when you think of boxers where they're coming from.
And he's a guy that came from such a humble beginning, which is so, it's so common, right, in the sport of boxing. The guys that typically rise to the top are the guys that had to fight for literally everything at such a young age. But we're talking about a guy, and I recommend to everyone who maybe isn't too familiar with the life, the legacy, and how it all came together for George Foreman, watch his biography. Watch the movie that came out just a couple of years ago. I mean, is it of the highest quality of production? No, but it does tell the story, and I think it tells it very well, that this is a guy that literally started with absolutely nothing, had dreams to become one of the fastest risers in the heavyweight division, did just that, winning a gold medal in the Olympics and then claiming the heavyweight championship of the world. As you talked to, we're talking about a guy that got the best of Kenny Norton, a guy that defeated then and defeated Joe Frazier in 1973, defended the belt twice before losing to Muhammad Ali in the Rumble in the Jungle, which is one of the most significant fights in boxing history. I mean, the heavyweight division, the heavyweight history is completely wrapped around George Foreman when you really look at it, Tony.
I mean, look, you didn't even get to the part to where he wins it again.
Not yet. Nope. We'll get to that point, right? But let's talk about the first aspect of Foreman's boxing career, because it was phenomenal the way he rose to the top. He did it in such dominating and such high-speed fashion, Tony. It was unheard of at the time.
Yeah, I mean, he really was lighting people up, inside the ring and outside the ring, kind of really showcasing his skills. And, being, especially at that time, having the length that he had and the tenacity that he had, man, he didn't really show any remorse for anyone. He was just taking people out nonstop. He was brutal in the ring. You know, at the time, a lot of people would say that he had one of the best jabs and the power that he had. I know later on in his career, and we'll talk about it later, just some of the power that he just was able to withstand and hold. But, a lot of people are kind of writing, you know, eulogies and whatnot in regards to what his legacy is looked at. And when people say that, you know, he's had three or four different lives and careers throughout, you know, his legacy throughout his years, they're not wrong.
No,
this guy is really lived a complete life, and not everyone ever gets that opportunity. And if anyone ever deserved to, it would be him. And I know this sounds like hyperbole for sure, but we are in a part of a lifetime where we got to witness that, and that's something special, that we were able to kind of be there and see that. And even for us, being younger in this, we didn't get to see him in the 70s. You know, it was our parents and their parents that really got to see him from the beginning to the end. We really saw him, you know, as youth in the 90s, right? And then, you know, everything else. But being boxing nerds like we are, we go back and watch the film and whatnot. But, yeah, to be able to tell his tales and to see what he's been able to overcome and achieve is, you know, outside of miraculous.
Again, Tony Whitby, our boxing insider, joining us right now as we talk about George Foreman, who passed away over the weekend at the age of 76 years old. Tony, the most significant night for me in the history of boxing, we have to go back to April 19th, 1991. I got to see two of my three favorite fighters of all time in the ring, and I fell in love with the sport that night. It was Evander Holyfield versus George Foreman. And we've had Holyfield on the show. I got to talk to him about that night. He talked about going up against an older George Foreman, who at the time was 42 years old. Holyfield said, "I literally gave him everything I had, and I could not take this old man out. Every time he hit me, it felt like I was getting popped by a tree trunk." He said it was absolutely unbelievable. And for historical significance, you go back to that night. That happened to be George Foreman's 72nd career professional fight. He was 42 years old, and going back to what you said a moment ago, that was the George Foreman that guys like you and I grew up with. This wasn't the guy that was knocking out Joe Frazier and TKOing Kenny Norton in the second round. This was an older George Foreman stepping up and fighting elites in the division well past his expiration date. I mean, 42 back in 1991 is not 42 in 2025. There's a significant difference.
Yeah, they aged much differently back then than what they do now. That is, for the context matters. You are 100% right. Even at that point, a lot of people were like, "Why is Holyfield taking this fight against Foreman? This doesn't make sense. You know, Holyfield's going to light him up, especially because he's, you know, arguably getting into his prime right now. This fight shouldn't even happen." And for Foreman to showcase the tenacity and the ability of not going anywhere and making it one hell of a fight, it speaks volumes for him as well. And if anyone won the crowd over that night, it would have been Foreman, man. He really held his own. And I remember watching that fight just going, "What are we, like, why is this happening?" And you and I both know that you do come from a Holyfield lens. I don't think I'm speaking out of pocket.
Nope, not at all.
More from in a different lens. So I remember really, really rooting for Foreman last night, really hoping that he was going to get the best of Holyfield. And, you know, unfortunately, he didn't, but it did allow for Foreman to continue on his conquest and his ultimate goal of you know, becoming champion again in the heavyweight division.
It was the old cliche, Holyfield won the fight, but Foreman won the night, right? Because you're exactly right. That particular outing set up the next five fights of Foreman's career, which the exclamation point is 3 years later, 1994, he knocks out Michael Moore in the 10th round in what I believe is one of the greatest nights in the history of the sport. I try to stay away from hyperbole. For me personally, I'll never forget that night. I'll never forget that moment. I think Jim Lampley has one of the most iconic calls that we saw from HBO Boxing when Foreman knocks out Moore and he yells, "It happened." It's just historical. It's everything that the underdog feel-good movie is made of. It unfolded right in front of our very eyes that night, where we saw this likable, lovable giant right, who walks out to, he was coming to the ring with Hakuna Matata playing, right? I mean, he was just so lovable. Here's a big fella. He's embracing this second life that he gets in the sport, regardless of why he's stepping in the ring. Obviously, it was for financial reasons, but he just rebuilt himself, and he had everyone in the entire arena chanting his name as he was going up against Michael Moore, who had knocked out Evander Holyfield. The whole night is just everything that underdog stories are made of.
If I may, anyone who's currently listening right now needs to, the next 24 hours, to simply type in George Foreman, Michael Moore, knockout round, and just watch it. It is amazing. It's amazing before the round starts with Teddy Atlas even saying, hey, watch out for this. And then, lo and behold, it happens.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it is something glorious. You can't... This is why we watch sports.
Yep.
This is why we pay attention to these real-time, real-life moments that happen, because they could only happen in this arena, in this context. It was something amazing to see. I remember exactly where I was that night. I remember what I ate that night. I remember everything about that, because I was just, it was something that we don't see in the sport, in any sport for that matter. I mean, it was such a shock and awe moment where we were like, I can't believe this happened. This is why we pay attention so much to what we do. You know, when I talked to Foreman about it, when we talked to Foreman about it as a show, you know, he did talk about how, like, he game planned and he would work from built up a moment and setting traps. But in some ways, he even felt like he was, you know, just surprised to see that he was able to land it and connect on it, and it did the damage that it did. But he always had the most confidence in himself and his ability, so there was never any doubt in his mind that it was possible. And that if there's one thing to be said about Foreman, was that his confidence in himself, especially when he set the goal out to be champion again, there was nothing stopping him. You know what I mean? Even when he ran into the roadblock of Holyfield, he felt that this conquest was not to end, and it was to continue to keep going. Whether it was money, God, whatever euphemism you need, but the guy had drive in himself, believed in himself, even when everyone else didn't, even when the fans didn't. They were like, he's too old. There's no way. He had that mental toughness to continue to strive and move forward. It really is, you know, not just an American tale, but, you know, a boxing tale. There's a lot to say about George Foreman, the trials and tribulations of his life. I mean, look, man, losing to Ali in the fashion that he did, he could have closed it up there and called it a career and moved on to other things. And the fact that he continued to persevere and move speaks volumes. I mean, he took years off the sport and still came back. This doesn't happen, even in this day and age. So it cannot go lightly what we're talking about today.
It will.
What we're talking about is a career that just doesn't happen. Not anymore, but ever.
Ever.
That's the point.
Yep, yep, ever. He literally took 10 years off of the sport, came back, he leaves the sport in 77. He takes 10 years off. He comes back in 87, and 7 years after he returns, he wins the heavyweight championship. It'll never happen again. I'll say this. It's almost virtually impossible, Tony, in today's world, for that to ever happen again.
Well, I'm going to leave that one alone just because of the rumors of Klitschko possibly coming back. But we'll get into those if that ever happens. That being said, though, I will tell you that we also had another fighter that fought Foreman on our show. Actually, we had two other fighters. But I remember talking with Luis Alvarez. Mm-hmm. This was a young fighter at the time, but who also fought Foreman as well, and just said, look, you know, I've been in the rings my entire life, but there was nobody that I took a punch for that would landed harder on me and took more punishment than somebody like Foreman. Foreman's ability to connect on you, and the fact that like his punch I forgot what he called it, but it just overall his volume, the not for volume of punches, but the density of his punch, it hurt. And so he can crack, man. So I always remember that when I think about Foreman, and just when you see him connect, and especially in his older years when, you know, he's much more of a slower puncher, but when you see it connect, you're not realizing that that's a diesel at 30 miles per hour is still running you over. You know what I mean? So it's still going to have massive force because of just the overall weight behind it. The strength behind Foreman was almost unparalleled in the sport of heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, he literally checks every single box for a professional athlete. And I think this is why it stung so much over the weekend when we found out about his passing at the age of 76 years old. Tony, I think the best way to sum up George Foreman, if you were going to just, you know, describe him in as few words as possible, first off, a humanitarian, right? Because that's what he was. He was a stellar human being. He was an Olympian. He represented the country well, won a gold medal, and became a two-time heavyweight champion of the world. It's simple. It's really simplistic, but you can put all of the, I mean, that right there sums up everything that he was as a human being and everything that he meant to the sport of boxing. It's all encompassing. I think it's really that simple.
Yeah, to me, it's, you know, the easy one would say an American icon. To me, I think giving the sport of boxing being such a global sport, giving his, you know, pitching for Foreman Grills and the overall being an icon itself in the media and everything else, I think of him more of a world icon. I think you could show his face and show his voice to people in many other countries, and they'd still know exactly who we're talking about, without a doubt. So to me, it's a world icon. And with that, man, I'd like much love to him and his family and condolences. Loved every moment of his life.
Tony, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I'm happy that we had some time to make this happen today. I know this is something that this is an athlete that meant an awful lot to both of us, right? And so I'm glad to get you on. I'm glad to hear your personal, you know, your stories, your interactions with Foreman, and of course what he meant to you as a boxing fan, because I still go back to that legendary night, 1994. You were talking about Google the knockout round. There's also a documentary out there called Legendary Fights or Legendary Nights. It's got Jim Lampley, it's got Michael Moore, it's got George Foreman, it's got Teddy Atlas in it. Incredible documentary, highly recommended. It's everything that was perfect about the sport, right? Everything that Hollywood wants to create with the sport, it happened that night.
Yeah, 100%.
Tony, always a pleasure. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Yep, always good to be here, JB.
Let's pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We are live from the Sutherland Studios, and it's here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.